Mark May, good morning. Mark.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Mark.
What are you doing this morning? You got to keep calm. We got a hurricane coming, so keep calm, would you?
I know. The weather down there, the wind's got to be blowing. It's got to be raining and wet. It's going to be a little exciting. Hopefully, everybody's safe.
Well, you know, all July, it was about 105 degrees. August was in the 90s. So I got to tell you, I don't know if you're familiar with what a cave day is. It's what a man relaxes in on his cave days. It's called a man cave. And it's supposed to rain all day here Saturday, so I'm just going to get in front of the TV at 9 o'clock in the morning, watch Notre Dame and Navy, and let it roll.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to be doing the same thing, but I'll be doing it until about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'll be with you, my friend. I'll probably take a couple of naps in between, but I'll be with you.
We do need to mention real quick, Mark, I tell you, the response you got from the Touchdown Club and from your appearance here on the show, everybody loved you. You did a great job, and we're thrilled to have you in Little Rock.
Thanks. I really enjoyed it. It was a terrific time and had a good time. Met some great people.
They had a special last night on Arkansas State football, which is the first time they've ever had this. And it was on Gus Malzahn, and it showed your clip from the Touchdown Club when you said,
"Yeah, that's right."
When you said, "Rest your starters."
Gus didn't like that, Mark. He said, "Listen, I know Mark May personally. He's a great guy, and he's a competitor, and I guarantee if Mark May was coaching a football team, he would not rest his starters after one series." But he took you to task on your comments. I thought that was good.
Yeah, but the thing is, you got to think about it. You got to be playing the Ducks. You got to be playing Nebraska two out of the first three games. Why wouldn't you rest your players? Because get them ready and keep them healthy.
Yeah, don't get them hurt.
The conference play. Yep. Go and win the conference and get to a bowl game.
It does make sense, but if you were the coach, you'd do it the right way.
I've heard a couple of coaches say that, though.
I can see the rationale in it. You certainly want to be healthy for the season.
Sure. No, but nobody's going to. As busy and controversial offseason we've ever seen, Mark, Ohio State, Arkansas, the Honey Badger, and, of course, Penn State. Who would have thought? And I may have asked you this when you were up here last time. Who would have thought that 7 months ago that all of this would have come down the way it's come down?
Nobody. I don't think anybody could have predicted this, particularly the Penn State situation when that story broke and came out. And I still think that's the biggest story in college football in years and possibly the biggest one possibly ever. And I think when you look at the situation, it's, you know, some of these institutions that we hold in such high regard and high esteem, we've got to take a step back and find out exactly what we're looking at. You know, because nobody could have predicted the Penn State situation. And, you know, some of these schools, you know, USC's finally off probation. They can at least play for a bowl game and a national championship this year. So I think hopefully with what happened at Penn State and with the situation that they're in and the sanctions that the NCAA handed down, hopefully a lot of these coaches, a lot of these programs will straighten up and understand, you know, the responsibility that they have.
There's still a couple of officials up there that are in a state of denial, and this is not it's not going to work, no matter what the truth is. The cat's out of the bag now. And, of course, here at Arkansas, we had the Petrino situation. And I think the way Jeff Long handled it, in the long run, Arkansas comes out in the big picture smelling like a rose. Saw a big story on USA Today the other day. Front page, the John Smith story. If he wins double digits, it could be the college football story of the year, blah, 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 blah. But it could go south, too. I mean, I don't know what you think, but I think there's four or five games that can go either way, just given the nature of the Southeastern Conference.
Well, I think the way it's set up right now, I think the sneaky game for them is Auburn. Nobody really knows how good they're going to be because that's a football team that, you know, they return a lot of depth on the defensive front. They're going to be pretty good defensively. And, you know, on offense, they've got Kyle Frazier that's going to be throwing the ball, and he's going to be running the ball, the new offensive coordinator. So if you look at their schedule, you know, I stated it before when I was there, that I think there are three games that they're not going to be favored in, and they'll be favored in all the other three. Sure. All the other games. I think that the LSU game, the Alabama game, and I think if you look at South Carolina, it's going to be a challenge for them. I think they're probably going to not be favored in those games. They're going to be underdog in those games. And it all depends how they come out of those games and how they play those games. They've got a couple of layups to get ready for Alabama before they've got Alabama in their third game at home. And, you know, if they prepare properly and they get the Alabama game, who knows? What? You know, you've got them in your own backyard. If you play extremely well and you have your A game and you beat Alabama in the third game of the season, all of a sudden everybody's talking about Arkansas and this Arkansas program again.
That's true. And I've looked at Citadel as a trap game because if Arkansas loses to Alabama, Rutgers is a lot better than people give them credit for. They were 9-4 last year. Two games they lost by 2 points. They're not anything that we should worry about, but if they lose to Alabama, you know, everybody may be down in the mouth, and who knows what can happen.
But you look at Rutgers historically over the years, they would not play anybody non-conference. You know, look at their schedule, their non-conference schedule the last few years when Gercianno was there. He would never schedule anybody non-conference because he wanted to make sure he had that built-in four games where he could definitely make sure that he went to a bowl game every year. And this is the first time that Rutgers really has played somebody in the non-conference schedule that's a good team, that's a respected team. And particularly to play Arkansas, it's very surprising for Rutgers. So I look at that game that, you know, that's a game that you should win, I would think, easily. Because it's a new staff at Rutgers, a new coaching staff. You know, they've got a couple of holdovers that they had before, but Greg Schiano, when he left the program, in a pretty good position.
We have arguably the most exciting Razorback to ever put our uniform on. Matt Jones in the studio with us today, so I'm going to ask him some of these questions later. And I call them two early predictions. Give me your two or three top running backs in the land this year.
If they're healthy. Marcus Lattimore, and apparently he is healthy because he's already played in scrimmage and he's played extremely well. Nile Davis, if he comes back off this ankle injury, we just don't know. He hasn't had any full contact yet, but if he's ready to go with their offensive line, he should be pretty good this season. And, you know, I think you still got to look at Monty Ball at Wisconsin. He's going to be one. But here's the sleeper, and this is my sleeper for the Heisman Trophy, Eddie Lacy. And the reason why? Because
wow.
He's
Alabama.
Playing behind the number one offensive line in the nation. They get four returning starters back from last year's national championship team. You've got the Outland Trophy winner that's Barrett Jones, has moved from left tackle into center. You've got a left tackle that's going to replace him. It was supposed to be one of the top three offensive linemen that year when he came out of high school coming off a knee injury. And you've got Nick Saban coaching these guys and getting them ready. And plus, everybody's telling them that you can't defend a national championship. You guys aren't going to be ready. Well, think about it. You know, he's replacing two running backs that went to the NFL that were either won the Heisman or were the top three vote-getters in the Heisman.
Lacy's a beast, too. I mean, yeah. he is a beast.
He's at Alabama. Hello?
Yeah.
And we'll talk quarterbacks next week. I want to ask you, what could be the biggest possible surprise team this year?
The biggest possible surprise team is until Derrick Rogers got kicked off of Tennessee. I looked at all the starters that they had coming back. I thought they had an opportunity to surprise a lot of people this year. Because the way that they played last year and all the injuries they had at the wide receiver position, the quarterback position, and up front at the offensive line, I thought that team could have been a team to surprise this year. I think there's a team that you need to keep an eye on this year. I think UCLA, just because there's something about that team, even though by default last year they won the Pac-12 South, you've got Jim Moore there. And nobody's really talking about this team because everyone's focused on UCLA. I think that's a team that could surprise, and they could probably win eight, nine ball games. And for UCLA, that's pretty good because they've been in that situation the last few years where they've been in the Pac-12 and they've been extremely average or below or mediocre.
Well, we've asked around the table and guests we've had on, why in the world does UCLA have problems recruiting?
They don't, but the problem is, under Neuheisel, they don't know if they're going to run a spread offense, the pro-style offense. They even tried the pistol offense last year. And every single year, their quarterbacks have been devastated. Not just one. They were playing their third or fourth team quarterback most of the time the last few years. For some reason, all their quarterbacks got injured the last few years.
And besides, he'd take them out to the beach and play guitar and sing them lullabies. A little kumbaya. Biggest possible disappointment this year.
I think Texas. I think everybody's talking about how good Texas is. I think Texas defense is going to be really good under Manny Diaz, but I'm still questioning about their offense. You know, this is an offense that they've recruited great running backs the last few years, and they finally decided on their quarterback. But the problem with Texas is when they were good, they had a big, nasty offensive line. When they were at Texas, they could run the ball at will, and they haven't been Texas for a long time. And I still think that's one area where they really hadn't recruited well and developed their offensive linemen. And I think everybody's throwing, well, Texas is going to be a top 12 team. They may be a top 10 team at the end of the season. I think Texas is going to be about what they were last year, maybe 8, maybe 9 wins at best.
Well, that won't break our heart at all. Run some of these games by you real quick, and then I'll throw you to the Wolves. Vandy in South Carolina.
Closer than most people think, but South Carolina's going to pull it out. And James Franklin and Vandy's telling everybody that this is their Super Bowl, so they're going to be throwing everything at South Carolina in this game.
Of course, everybody's impressed by their coach. I know Basil is itching to pick Vanderbilt in this game.
I'm itching.
He's itching.
I'm itching. I don't know if I'm going to do it it's going to be a close game,
you know,
I think.
You know what you need to do. You need to calm down.
I need to calm down.
Vandy better hope that at least part of the hurricane weather gets there, and it's windy and rainy and nasty.
It could be. Clemson and Auburn.
I like Auburn in that game. I think the Gene Chizik, they've been very quiet down in the Plains. No one said much about what's going on. He's had a top 10 recruiting class the last 3 years. Played a lot of freshmen, a lot of true sophomores last year. Keep an eye on Auburn this year.
Washington State and BYU.
BYU is supposed to be good. Bronco Mendenhall, he's won at least 10 games, 3 out of the last 4 years. But I'm going with the Pirate at the Palouse. There's something about the crazy man out there watching the state.
He's got the intangible it factor.
Yep. Mike Leach, for some reason, surprised a lot of people. Remember, when he was at Texas Tech, remember, they were awful before he got there.
Yep.
He averaged 8 games and went to a bowl game 10 consecutive years.
Well, he's just got some kind of crazy, whacked-out it factor.
Yep.
And he is, we were talking about last week, there are great coaches, and there are coaches who are rock stars who aren't necessarily great coaches. And at the top of that list, you got to put Leach. He's a rock star.
He is.
But he's not necessarily the greatest coach on the planet. Boise State and Michigan State.
Michigan State. You look at Michigan State, William Golston and that defense. They may have one of the better defenses, not only in the Big Ten, but also in the nation. They just have a situation at their quarterback that they've got to come up with a quarterback. But you got Le'Veon Bell at the running back position. He's 245, 250 pounds, and they've got one of the better offensive lines in the Big Ten. If you look at Boise State, they're finally starting a quarterback for years that we don't know anything about, Joe Southwick. Remember, Kellen Moore was
there
for about 18 years.
Yes, yeah, true.
He's 37 years old now, by the way. And finally, Michigan and Alabama.
Well, this game is not going to be as close as the experts think. I think Alabama's going to roll in this game. Denard Robinson, if you remember last year, they're talking about, well, they were 11-2. Show me a quality victory that they had last year. They beat Virginia Tech. The ACC doesn't win games when they go to the BCS. And besides that, if you go back and look at that game, Denard Robinson, I think he had 13 carries for 13 yards in that game. Virginia Tech's defense was able to hold them down. Alabama defense, they only have a few starters coming back on that side of the ball, but a lot of those young kids plays, and remember how well Nick Saban develops talent, they're going to be a lot better on defense than people think.
And what sucks harder, a Wendy's milkshake or the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh,
you know what that is.
Oh!
The Dallas Cowboys.
Well, Mark, next time we talk to you, Mark, it'll be the day after the season opener, so I'm sure we'll be talking about the Cowboys' victory. But you know what? I'm worried about Jason Witten. Now he's a day-to-day, he's a game-to-game thing.
I think it's one of those situations, when you're worried about a spleen, you've got to be extra precautious. You know, if they think that you can come back in 2 weeks, make it 4 weeks. Because in a situation like that, you're worried about making sure that something doesn't happen on the field where you take a hit, and you don't know, maybe it's bothering you a little bit, all of a sudden you're out, and you may be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So that's a situation be very, very careful with. I think you're going to be cautious.
I think the Giants are looking at the Dallas Cowboys as their Jacksonville State, and it just concerns me.
I've got two words for you, Mark May, and that is Dez Bryant.
Oh. You know, have you seen the movie on, not the movie, but the show on USA TV called Necessary Roughness?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
Oh, my
that's
gosh.
Him to a T.
Mark, and I did have to say, speaking of Cowboys, since you made your comments about Randy White, we had one open spot left in the Touchdown Club lineup 2 weeks from now, and we got Randy White coming to speak to the Touchdown Club. So we may play your tape just to see what he's got to say to that.
I say nothing.
Hey, real quick, who's your national champion? Who's your prediction for the national champion this year?
Well, I'm probably going to say this on the air tonight.
Okay,
Friday,
that's cool.
No, that's all right. But what I said is basically, I believe the winner is going to be, well, everybody knows, the SEC champion.
Okay.
Versus the winner of the Oklahoma-West Virginia game.
Wow.
Remember that. I'm going to say it on the air this week. Because think about that. Everybody thinks USC's got this cakewalk. Believe it or not, USC, they're going to probably lose a game that they're not supposed to lose just because of their depth. They've already lost a cornerback because of academic ineligibility. Now, if they get one or two more injuries on that defense or something happens, they're going to be in trouble. And teams are going to be gunning for them. Remember, they've got the bullseye on their back. They're number one in the nation.
Right.
Well, Mark, just one thing I want to remind you today. You need to, at all costs, keep calm.
Oh, I'll be calm. I'm ready. Have you seen my tweets about Dr. Lou? The gloves are
sure
coming off.
Sure have. Yeah.
I'm going at him this year. The gloves are coming off. They've got new management at ESPN from the top down. They've juggled it around. They told me, you know what? Go back to being the cutthroat guy that you
are. All right.
Great stuff. Always to have you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
How about the Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
Hey, you know what that was? Another interception by Romo.
Hey, it's David Basil for Baptist Health.